King shapes at me. Is that right? Am I on? Great stuff. Praise the Lord. Well, we're continuing today in our studies in Philippians, and we're up to chapter 3. Now, I hope you realize, I'm sure you do, that you'll only ever get a flavor in the half hour or so that we speak from the front. And if you really want to get into it all, you have to do that bit yourself. So I'm going to pick out something of what I want to say this morning in the reading that I'm going to do. I'm not going to read the whole of chapter 3, just some portions of it. So here goes, chapter 3, and starting with verse 1. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. Though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. This is not me, by the way. This is Paul speaking. I've got no confidence in me flesh. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I haven't achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. And when I looked at this chapter, it's obvious there are two main themes. The first one is the priceless value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And the second is the desire to press on toward the goal. So everything hangs on those two things. I remember speaking here about 8 years ago after being inspired at a conference I went to where Nancy Gowdy was speaking. And she was asking the question, do you know Christ? And so something of the things that I shared then will come out again. So if you have a good memory, that will be fab. I want to ask, do you know him? Do you know him? Not how many years have you been a Christian, or not how much do you do for God, or not even how often do you come to church, but do you know him? Do you know him? You know, when you look in the Bible at the great men and women of God, you see that as well as doing great exploits for him, there's an insatiable desire within them to cry out to know God more. It's true in lives of David and Moses, and we'll look at that in a minute. But Jeremiah chapter 9 says this. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me. That needs to be our desire. It says in John 17, verse 3, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That they may know you. Eternal life isn't something that we get when we die. Eternal life happens. It's a relationship when we get to know Jesus. It begins when we're saved. And so I want to ask you today, do you know him? As I said a minute ago, those in the Bible who knew God most, and we look at their lives and we think, wow, you know, you really knew the Lord, you walked with him. But these are the ones that wanted to know him more. David says in Psalm 42, verse 1, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. And he says in Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. What David was saying is, Lord, I want to be where you are. I want to know you more and more. And Moses said in Exodus 33, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I might know you and continue to find favor with you. Do you know him? And if you would answer yes to that, I want to tell you this morning, there's so much more. So much more. And in the passage that we've just read in Philippians, verse 8 says, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And Paul is saying, for this and his sake, I have discarded everything else. I even count it as rubbish. Everything else is rubbish. And he goes on to say in verse 10, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. We went one time years ago now to London for a weekend, and I said to Eddie, oh, I really want to go to Harrods. We'd never been in Harrods, so I thought we'd give it a shot and I'll buy something if I can afford it so I can get a Harrods bag. And so we were quite impressed with the concierge on the door as you go in. It's not like that, you know, in Asda when you go in. And so... It was near Christmas as well. I bought a Christmas pudding. That's all I bought so I could get the Harrods bag. But, you know, we went in. I thought, I'm going to go and see it all. Well, I didn't. It's so huge. But, you know, as we went into places, it was kind of, wow. There was all kinds of stuff. You know, golden eagles in one department as sort of fixtures around the place. And you just kept going, wow. And then you walked into another department, wow. And I went into the food department and they had a wall which was all like rocky crags and water's pouring down it and fish are sticking out. And that's where oh, it was wow all the time. It was wow, look at this. And it just seemed to be, it didn't matter what room we went into, there was just so much more. There was so much. We couldn't take it in, and in the end I says, oh, you know, I'm overwhelmed here. We won't be bothered with any more departments along the way. And you know, I think that's a little bit like what Paul is saying here. There's so much more to knowing Jesus. It isn't just like this one-off experience. There's so much more, and we don't touch it. He starts by saying, I want to know Christ. And I would have said to myself, surely you know Christ? You met him on the Damascus Road. What kind of an experience was that? It was quite amazing. You spent 3 years in Arabia with the Lord. Galatians 1 will tell you that. You received visions and revelations from the Lord. Wow. You were caught up into paradise and heard, the Bible says, inexpressible things. It says that in 2 Corinthians 12. I will reluctantly tell you about visions and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside of it. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. Things no human is allowed to tell. Surely, Paul, surely when you've seen all of this, you know Christ. But I feel Paul would look at me and say, yes, Myra, but there's so much more. So much more. And then he says, I want to know the power of his resurrection. And I would want to say to him in the same way, surely you know the power of his resurrection. Look at Acts 19. It says, God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. When handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and evil spirits were expelled. Just with a handkerchief that had touched him. Surely, surely you have experienced the power of the resurrection. And you've seen amazing things and done amazing things, but I still feel that Paul would say, Myra, there's so much more. And he goes on. I want the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Don't know how many of us would ask for that today. I want the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. And I would say to him, Paul, surely, surely you know that. You've suffered so much. 2 Corinthians 11 says this. Are you servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I've served him far more. I've worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but they are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty, and have often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Surely, Paul, surely you know the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. You know, to want so much more than what he'd already experienced tells me that what he'd gone through, he walked through so closely with the Lord that even suffering was a joy in him. Even suffering was a joy in him. If we got to that position where we look at the hard times that come our way and say, I'm finding the joy of the Lord in this. I'm going to get to know him in this miserable time that I'm going through, so I feel his hand walking me through, and it's like it's not touching me. There's so much more. Paul had suffered so much. He understood what it was like to share in his sufferings. But I know he would say to me, there's so much more. And then he says, I want to be like him in his death. And I would say, surely, Paul, you of all people understand what it's like to sacrifice your interests to his interests, to sacrifice your will to his will. And I still feel sure that Paul would say, yes, but there's so much more. There's so much more of me that I could surrender to him. So much more of me that I could lay down so I know him even more than I do right now. And I want to suggest to you this morning that we haven't even scratched the surface of our relationship with Jesus. There's so much more. Do you know him? Do you know him? Is your heart's desire to know him more? Are you living off a one-off experience that happened years ago? I want to say there's so much more. Christmas is coming up. Imagine getting 3 sackfuls of presents and sitting there and opening all the joys that are in one and then thinking, nah, I won't bother with them too. I don't believe there's any of us that wouldn't. If somebody gave you 3 sackfuls of presents, we'd want to be in there, see what's in that. Me curiosity would kill me. I couldn't walk away from it. I'd have to know what was in those other bags. And you know, God is saying, you're just scratching the surface. You're just getting little bits, but there's so much more. I've got sackfuls of stuff that I want to bless you with. There's so much more. Job 26, verse 14 says this, and these are but the outer fringe of his works. How faint the whisper we hear of him. As Job looked on the creation and glory of God, he knew all the beauty that he was seeing, excuse me, was just the outer fringe. Just the outer fringe. How faint the whisper we hear of him. Do you want that whisper to get louder in your life? There's so much more. And the second thing in this passage is the desire to press on toward the goal. And it says in 3 and verse 12, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I haven't achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ, is calling us. I press on. I forget what lies behind. How many people are tied up with what lies behind in their lives? And they're still dragging it into the future along the way. Broken dreams, past hurts, disappointments, all of those things that have gone on in your past, and you're dragging them along. You're not letting them go. And so they destroy that journey to the goal that God has for us. What is your goal this morning? What is your goal? Is it an earthly goal or is it a heavenly goal? Is it a better job? A better house? More money? Position? There's so many things that can block these type of goals. So many different things that crop up. And they leave you frustrated and envious and resentful. But you know, if your goal is the perfection for which Christ Jesus first took hold of you, it's an open goal. It's absolutely achievable. It's something that you can get. God never dangles a carrot before you that you can't reach. He is not that kind of God. And so if you make him your goal won't be blocked. You can see him and you can walk toward him. So these two main points in this chapter, the priceless value of knowing Christ and the desire to press on toward the goal. And when I looked at the passage, as I always do before I speak, I always say, Lord, what is your angle? What is the thing that you want me to emphasize this morning? What is the thing that you want people to go out with, still thinking of it in their heads? And it was so clear. There's so much more. Do you know him? Do you know him? That's why I've spent more time on that bit. Because when we've got that right, we do press on toward the goal. We need to get that bit right. And I feel that God is crying out for a deeper relationship with us. I feel that he's saying, if only you could see how much more there is, you'd grab my hands off. You'd go for it. We settle for so much less than the best. There's so much more. Do you know him? This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me. Amen.